Become a compassionate Christian today on Sound Doctrine.
We all have baggage from the past. We're messed up. We have insecurities. We need to be flexible, though. Not hard, not critical. When one suffers, we understand we all suffer. So when you see your brother or sister suffering, you come alongside. You give them a hand. You help. We need to be loving. So be sympathetic.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
You don't have to look far to find Christians fighting with each other. Whether it's a heated disagreement related to an interpretation of the Bible or a fight springing from an unkind word spoken in anger. While we are to be living in harmony, more often than not, Christians aren't getting along. Pastor Jeff Johnson is leading a study of 1 Peter. Today on Sound Doctrine, we're encouraged to be like-minded and sympathetic.
This morning, we're going to be looking at Peter. So go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to cover two very interesting verses. I don't think you've really come across these too much, but they all fit into where we've come from. So 1 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9. Last week, we talked about the husbands, and we saw one of the results of a wrong relationship within the home was not good. It was prayers would be hindered of the husband if business is not taken care of. Peter's letter is sort of like Paul's when he wrote Ephesians, because he wrote Ephesians and he starts with what is first the essential. What needs to be done before anything else. And really, that beginning is that you must be born again. So Peter's carrying the same thing over. He starts off with the essential, and then he goes down from there, and he begins to show God's part first, and that's always best to look at all that he's done, but then he then shows our part, and that's where we're at this morning. Our part, we're to walk worthy of our calling. And he's been talking about subjection. He's been talking about humility. And so we're to be subject to the powers that be, to the government. We're to be subject, and we're to be open to employer-employee relationships, and so they work smoothly. We're to be subject, and he goes on to the home and how the wife and the husband are to be living in that submissiveness. And that's so important in our relationships, our attitude with each other in the family of God. And that's where we're getting to now, the body of Christ. How should we be acting? You know, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's in Psalm 133:1. We actually sing a song about that. And then over in John's Gospel, in John chapter 13, verse 35, he says this, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love to one another." So, wow, just loving one another, they'll know that you're a Christian, that you're his disciple. I love that. And that's what's needed more than anything else. But listen, it's tough because Matthew 24:12, Jesus talking about the end times, it's not going to be easy to have love. It's not going to be easy to love. It's going to be a struggle because he says there in Matthew 24, 12, because iniquity shall abound, sin is going to just be so prevalent in the end times, the love of many are going to wax cold. That's an interesting term there in the King James, wax cold. That's not, you know, have no love. No, it's the love that's supposed to be seen is going to be just shut down in a way. Waxed cold, is slowed and stopped. And we're seeing that today in just our society. So this lifestyle, this what he's talking about, let's look at it in 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Because notice he says, finally. In other words, he's finishing the whole thing with submission and relationships. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous. Then he says, not rendering evil for evil, of railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. I love that. So this lifestyle, it's real, it's possible. This peace that he's talking about, this compassion, this love, it's a real commodity in and through Christ. And this is where the world is missing it. I remember in my BC days, and you know, I was thinking the other day, how long have I been a Christian? And it's been, in a few months, it'll be 50 years that I've been a Christian serving the Lord. Amazing. And he has been so faithful. But when I go back to my BC days, that's a way back there now, right? But when I think about that, those days, searching, seeking, looking for peace, and looking for love in all the wrong places, through drugs, with Eastern religion, hypnosis. I mean, I touched into all this stuff. And later, through materialism, I just got caught up in the whole thing saying, hey, this is the way the world says is happiness and peace and love, and I'm going to go that way. Of course, that didn't bring it. I dropped out of society. I was already in the hippie movement and just following the dropping out. I moved to Hawaii. Later on in my life, as I look back, I saw that God was doing something that needed to be seen by others, so I threw together a book of my testimony, and I think testimonies are very powerful. I believe that God speaks through what he can do with someone who is out of it with drugs and barely made it through high school and, you know, and all this. And then now before and after, you know, and what God can do. I mean, what a great testimony and a witness to others. So I wrote The Seeker and I really, if you haven't really seen The Seeker or read The Seeker, I'm going to do a little commercial here. You can just call the church and we'll send you one. How's that? We got plenty. We'd love to have you have it and to give to someone else once you've read it. But it is a seeking thing. As I moved to Hawaii and we would just always go, peace, brother, you know. Hey, I love you, man. I love you, you know. And we'd tell each other we love them, and which was very interesting. It's different to experience these in reality. There's quite a difference saying it and experiencing it. It's one thing to look through your third eye and to meditate and try to be calm and say to others, just peace, you know, chill, you know, just be calm. I love you, man. It's going to be all right. But because I wasn't right with God, now I want you to hear this because this is so important. If you're not right with God, you can't experience what it is to be right with others. You can't have that. You'll never be right with others if you're not right with him. It's almost like there's a cross there. There's the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical is make your peace with God. The horizontal is have peace with your brothers and your parents and everyone around you. And it just clicks. So what we did in Hawaii, we lived like pigs. I mean, we were just thrashing everything. The kitchen, the dishes were just piled. Nobody wanted to do dishes. And there was, you know, rats all over the place. It was a horrible situation. Drugs were everywhere. People were cursing one another. I mean, we ripped each other's off. We took drugs from one another. And drugs really took many of my friends. And they're no longer with us because they overdosed. So total frustration and emptiness, that's where you end up with that whole scene of the BC days. And then all of a sudden, after moving back, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back to Los Angeles. I'm going to do what they say to live the life in LA. And my drug pusher got saved and came to my house. And instead of bringing drugs, he brought Jesus. That was quite a thing to behold. And I didn't know what was going on. He invited me to go to a church. And I found the first step in experiencing through Jesus Christ that peace of God. That peace of God that passes human understanding. It's in and through Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. And a true love for others. A compassion. And that's what we're reading here. Is that all ye be of one mind and have compassion. There's a huge difference between Christianity and other religions. It's interesting. Other religions, they just say, well, here's peace and here's love. Now, go get it. It's like, there's the mountain, climb it. And yet they never give you a map. They never give you any equipment to climb that mountain. Oh, they try to give you instruction. But it's just like, we hope you make it. And no one makes it. Because there was no way to begin with. Jesus is the way. There is no other way. So he's the one that gives us the power, equips us with the gifts. I was reminded of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It's not by our power, not by our might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And he gives us his spirit. He enables us to live the life and to be able to do what he's asked us to do. And that's just follow him. Go after the things of God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to your life. So that's his promise to us. Over in John 15 and verse 7, let me read it to you. John 15, verse 7, he says, If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, what I'm speaking about right now, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Whatever you ask, in Jesus' name, if God wills it, and it's his will, you're going to receive it. And then you begin to receive answered prayers. It's a blessing. Then over in John 14, 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. I know so many are troubled these days because of what's going on. World virus, a virus that has taken over the whole world. I mean, oh, you know, that just troubles so many hearts. And then he says, neither be afraid. You don't have to be fearful because he is with us. And if he is with us and he's promised us to take us through, then we're fine. And we lean and we trust in him. He who began a good work in us, the Bible says he will finish it. Before he comes, he's going to finish the work. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses wherever you go, to the government, the powers that be, to the employer-employee relationship, in our home, you will be a witness. That's the real true proving ground, isn't it, for Christianity? The home. And yet in the church, this is the true proving ground. Peter brings it up to us to just meditate upon. Going back to now 1 Peter in 3:8, he says, finally, be ye all of one mind. Be all single-minded. Peter says you can now carry your faith, your love in Christ outside the home. It can now, you can be that witness where you work, where you go to school. And so you're outside the home now. Finally, to sum up this incredible new life in Christ, this new relationship we have with each other, there are five characteristics. You guys taking notes? Five characteristics, five evidences with God, and which is very interesting, of His love in our lives and in our relationship. So number one is to be like-minded, he says. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, like-minded. Over in Philippians, Paul says it best in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, here it is, Philippians 2, 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And then he says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when you think about be like-minded, you need to think about Jesus. What was he? He was a servant to everyone. He girded his loincloth and he started to wash the disciples' feet. He was a servant. Be like-minded as Jesus Christ. The same love, the same mind. I like that. Then in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 1, they were all with one accord in one place, it says. Now, what does that mean, one accord in one place? That simply means that they were of the same mind. They were all there because they knew they needed to be there. Jesus told them to wait upon him. And as they came together in one accord in one place, it says in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other language as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were being filled with God's Spirit so they could do what God had called them to do. In unity. When you speak of unity, you have to look towards Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 2. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's a wrestling that goes on just to keep the unity. Sometimes we have to struggle with it. Sometimes our flesh is against it. But he says we need to endeavor. We need to continue to wrestle with this. And for unity, we won't always agree theologically. You know, there are differences. Over the years, our views change. We need to be flexible in minor areas. We can't be hard-nosed. Putting our petty differences aside sometimes, we're co-laborers together. We're to be a witness. We're to work together. We're to wrestle together over these issues. Unity of the Spirit. Over there in our bulletin, and I pulled one out, in our bulletin on the back of it, it says what we believe. And it says that Calvary Chapel has been formed as a fellowship of believers in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Our supreme desire is to know Christ, to be conformed to his image by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not a denominational fellowship, nor are we opposed to denominations as such. Our only difference is that they have led to the division of the body of Christ. In other words, these doctrinal differences that sometimes are in the front and they shouldn't be there. And because they argue over it and they split over it, then there's division in the body of Christ. We're not for that. We believe that the only true basis of Christian fellowship is his agape love. We need his love in our lives to forgive one another, which is greater than any of the differences we possess, and without which we have no right to claim ourselves Christians. Agape, his amazing love and forgiveness. I like that. So we're to wrestle, to keep our certain foundational truths for sure. We won't budge concerning Jesus Christ. We will not budge concerning our statement of faith, our distinctives. The real issues are not you know, once saved, always saved. And, you know, Christians are fighting over these things. You can, you know, fall from grace. Do you speak with another language? If you don't, you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. I mean, really ridiculous statements that people argue over, that we need to stay with the foundational truths. Important. The real issue is, are you abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? That's the necessity, abiding in Him. He said, abide in me, be filled with my Spirit. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is what? The love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass. The gong show. Remember the gong show? Boom. You're out. Or a tinkling cymbal. You can't even be heard because there's no love. Love brings it up to the front. And not the speaking in another language. I like how Peter says it. If you're there at 1 Peter 3, you can just turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. That's reality. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Above all things have fervent love, charity among yourselves. For love shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality. One to another without grudging. Take care of one another. Be open to one another. Be loving with one another. I love it.
Well, there you have the first of five characteristics. Be like-minded. There is one more we would like to look at today, and we'll have that for you in just a moment on Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff is in a study of 1 Peter, and today's talk goes by the title of Walk Worthy of Our Calling. Catch a replay of today's Sound Doctrine by going online to sounddoctrineradio.org. That's sounddoctrineradio.org. And you might also want to download our free app so you can listen to Pastor Jeff on your phone or tablet. Just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey. For those interested in a CD copy, for a suggested donation of $5, call us, 800-353-7553. Don't you just love this time of year as collectively we celebrate Christ and all that He accomplished on the cross and the glory of the empty tomb? Because Jesus lives, we can too. And that's the emphasis of a book we'd like to get into your hands. It's written by several Calvary Chapel pastors, titled Because He Lives. We're making it available right now for the special price of $5. Ordering is super easy at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call toll-free 800-353-7553. As you give to this ministry, you're helping us cover the cost of being on this radio. And just think, countless thousands of people are hearing God's Word and applying it to their lives because of it. Perhaps one day in heaven, God will reveal to us just how much He accomplished through the radio and the generosity of listeners like you. Again, you can call us at 800-353-7553 or go to sounddoctrineradio.org on the web. Well, today, Pastor Jeff made mention of his book, The Seeker. Now, if that's something you would like to read, it's easy to order online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Yeah, let's get back to our message now, shall we?
Be sympathetic, he says. Sympathetic. In other words, in chapter 3, verse 8, it's have compassion one of another. Be compassionate with your brother and sister. Understand that. Over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He went there first. He experienced it so He could turn and have compassion upon us. Why do we run to Christ? Because of all that He went through. Because He knows. So God help us as brothers and sisters that we understand that we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ Listen, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He had compassion with those that wanted to kill him and nail him to a tree. That's amazing to me. To care for others. We all have baggage from the past. We're messed up. We have insecurities. We need to be flexible, though. Not hard, not critical. When one suffers, we understand we all suffer. So when you see your brother or sister suffering, you come alongside. You give them a hand. You help. We need to be loving. So be sympathetic.
A good word there for us as we close. To be compassionate, just as Christ was. We'll have the rest of this message for you next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, the presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So far.